Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so in this podcast, we basically look at the intersection of creativity and student learning. And real quick, before we get into this idea, which is that we should be trusting teachers to innovate, I want to tell you something about innovation real quickly. And it's my friend AJ Giuliani. If you know him at all, he and I wrote two books together. We wrote Launch and Empower. He is a good friend of mine. He's someone who has pushed my thinking a ton when it comes to innovating my own practice. And he has this thing called the Innovative Teaching Academy. You can see it in the show notes. If you go to innovativeteachingacademy.org/Spencer, then you'll be able to find it. And if you can you do that, you can check it out. You can find out more about it. And like I said, it's pretty awesome. Something that you really should give a look. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. Innovation is happening every day if we're paying attention to it. Each day when I ask my kids about their day at school, I'm blown away by what they are learning. And here's just a quick sample from a single day. My daughter comes home and tells me about this hands-on STEM, you know, problem-solving challenge she did in class. And it was hard for her to figure out, and she actually ended up in tears. She was so upset that she wasn't able to solve it. It was a huge challenge. But then by the end, she's hoping they do another one. And that tells me that that the struggle, that the difficulty was engaging. My middle son tells me about how his teacher has students celebrate their epic mistakes and how she turns has them talk about what they're learning as a result of it. He said something really pretty powerful. He said, "I feel like I can choose harder work because I'm not afraid of making mistakes." He then tells me about the Genius Hour project that he's working on and how he loves going to school each day and how excited he is to be blogging. And you get the idea. His teacher is innovating. My oldest son mentions the Socratic seminars he's doing in language arts and the way that they're exploring current events through critical thinking. And then his eyes light up as he shares every intricate detail from his engineering class he's taking. And they're doing a new engineering challenge every single week. And it's just so cool to hear about this. Now, these stories aren't rare. Recently, my middle son talked about how cool it was to create his own blog. My daughter talked about the books that she's getting to choose from the library. My oldest son is excited about how challenging his math class is. I could go on and on about this. These stories happen all the time. And the bottom line is this: amazing things are happening all the time. But we've somehow culturally bought into this idea that these things are ordinary simply because they happen often, but they're not ordinary. They're amazing. And these small innovations make a huge difference. And it all begins with teachers. They span subject areas and grade levels. There's all kinds of different things that they have in common from class to class, but there's actually a lot that they don't have in common, right? And a seventh grade engineering class is so different than a second grade class. But again, there's this common idea of innovation through little things and innovation that is sparked by the role of a teacher who's willing to innovate. Last year, I created this video called This is the Future of Education. And you can check it out on this blog post. It's spencerauthor.com/teachers-innovate. But the idea is that teachers are the future of education. And this is something I believe to my core. The future of education can't be found in a gadget or an app or a program or a product. It doesn't require a think tank full of pundits. No, the future of education can be found in the classroom. Every classroom is packed with creative potential, and teachers are the ones with the power to make it happen. It's what happens when we experiment. It's what happens when we give our students voice and choice. It's what happens when we abandon the scripted curriculum and take students off-road in their learning. It's what happens when we choose to teach to the students rather than teaching to the test. It's what happens when we unleash the creative power of all of our students, when we make the bold decision to let them make things and design things and solve problems that they find relevant. Now, sometimes it is messy and even confusing. It often looks humble. But every time students get a chance to be authors and filmmakers, scientists, artists, engineers, we are planting the seeds for a future that we could have never imagined on our own. But this all begins with teachers who are willing to take that creative leap. Unfortunately, too often teachers aren't trusted to innovate. And that's the second point I want to make. So first thing is, amazing things are happening in schools. And this is because of teachers. But the second point is that too often teachers aren't trusted to innovate. This last week, I received an email from one of my students. He described the frustrations of developing an engaging unit plan only to be told by his cooperating teacher that he had to use the district scripted curriculum instead. Now, I want to point something out. Scripted curriculum isn't inherently evil. If there are great ideas that we want to use, they can often be a fantastic starting point, right? Boxed curriculum. If it's meaningful, if it's challenging, if it's creative, if you're changing it to make it your own, all of that can be great. But the issue is when it becomes prescriptive, when districts and leaders say every single teacher must do this thing on this day in this same way, and teachers are reduced to being robots. This district had adopted this prescribed curriculum as a way to embrace so-called best practices in education. And yet the district also describes the need to meet the demands of 21st century learning, which is funny because we're almost a fifth of the way into the 21st century. They also talked in their website about the need to spark innovation. But here's the thing. Innovation requires you to step into the unknown. If we focus all of our attention on best practices and codify these ideas into tightly packaged curriculum, we will inevitably fail to experiment. I made a diagram. It's really simple. It asks the question, am I sure this will work? And if the answer is sure, if you're truly sure it'll work, then that's the status quo. And there's nothing wrong with the status quo. There are things that are time-tested and amazing that we should continue to be doing. But if the answer is no, there's a chance that this could lead to innovation. And too often schools talk about innovation, but they fail to trust their teachers to actually innovate in their own practice. Leaders pass out sets of box curriculum, and we end up with master chefs who are stuck making hamburger helper, or master artists who are doing paint by numbers. If we want innovative schools, we have to trust teachers to transform the learning themselves. Yes, they can listen to experts. Absolutely. Yes, they can borrow from great ideas from box curriculum. And yes, those ideas do exist. But ultimately, the innovation has to begin with those who know and care about students the most. Okay, so what can teachers actually do about it? Right? I mean, we can complain, we can talk about it, but what's the solution? We know that teachers are the key to innovation in the classroom, but the system seems, well, stacked against them. We have rigid curriculum maps, tight deadlines, bell schedules, the dreaded standardized test. In some cases, we have scripted curriculum that strips them of the craft of teaching. It can feel hopeless, right? But there are some strategies that I've seen from innovative teachers that I've observed who are stuck in rigid systems. And I want to mention some of the strategies that they've used and try to make this as practical as possible right here. But at the same time, I want to point out that innovative teachers are like anybody else in doing innovative things different, right? Every strategy varies from classroom to classroom. And so there is no one approach to solving this problem. But anyway, here are some of the things I've noticed some amazing innovative teachers doing when they're stuck in crappy systems. Number one, make it a pilot, right? This is the idea of kind of taking the advice of Elton John and just taking me to the pilot. I can't believe I actually just quoted Elton John. But if you're not sure if your administration will support an innovative practice, try pitching it as a pilot. By doing this, you are sharing it as a temporary idea rather than permanent change. And most administrators want to do what's best for kids, but they can be reticent to jump on board with a massive change. So if you can pitch your idea as a small experiment that will help out kids, it will be easier to get permission. Number two, find the wiggle room. This is your chance to think divergently. Your curriculum map might seem rigid when it says that you have 3 days to, you know, cover a specific standard, but it doesn't tell you which standards you can't teach. So incorporate more standards and do projects. If you have a boxed curriculum and you feel stuck by the fact that you're stuck using this boxed curriculum, well, there's also a solution. You can use it as the starting point and bring in tons of great supplementary material. You could compact it and move toward a more project-based approach. I remember when I had to teach this regimented four-hour block. I mean, this was this four-hour ELL block, and I'm telling you, this thing was awful. I had to teach grammar for an hour, oral language for an hour, writing for an hour, and speaking for an hour. And it was hard. And the district was going to be in monitoring my hours and checking for compliance. So this isn't something I could just ignore. And at first, I was really, really discouraged. It felt like it was impossible to innovate. But I was soon able to turn the grammar hour into a blogging and podcasting block. And I started to take the oral language block and redesign it for STEM. And this approach requires you to see things from a different angle and to ask, how can I get away with doing what is best for kids while also following the rules? Now, you'll meet some people who will say things like, well, you just shouldn't follow the rules. You should just be willing to break the rules. You should just be, you know, willing to do what you think is best for kids and say screw the rules. And I get it. There are some bold, brazen teachers out there who are able to pull that off. But what I found is that some of the people who are loudest about teachers should just not follow the rules are people that aren't actually teachers, right? If you want to keep your job, you have to, on some level, play the game. And it sucks and it's hard, but in the end, it allows you to keep your job and ultimately do what's best for kids. So find the wiggle room. Number three, get a team on board. If an entire grade level goes to a leadership team and says, we want to try this new approach, it becomes much, much harder for someone to say no. But this goes beyond simply asking for permission. It's easier for you to maintain a project and stick with it if you can work with a team. It's easier to experiment when you have a team that can provide support. You're able to lean on each other when things feel confusing or frustrating, and the change is more likely to be sustainable in the end because you're less likely to burn out. There's a reason that grassroots efforts require lots of people. It's because grass by itself is just one single seed. It's one blade. It's not enough. You have to get people on board. All right, number four, show them the research. I remember sending an email to my principal explaining my approach to PBL and design thinking. I shared how it was used in various industries, as well as the studies linking the process to deeper learning. I included research on competency-based and mastery-based assessment. I pulled out all the stops. I wanted my principal to know that I knew what I was talking about. And it worked. He realized that I wasn't just making this crap up. I wasn't just trying to do something new for the sake of trying to do something new, but that my opinions were actually informed by actual research. And this is hard, because if you're truly going to innovate, you might be doing something that really is different. There might not be research for it, but there's almost always research that creates the foundation for what you're talking about. I found that the newest, craziest, most different ideas almost always are things that have been around for years. They're things that Dewey talked about. They're things that they've been around for a long time. And for that reason, there's research that actually backs it up. All right, number five, communicate with the stakeholders. If you're about to do cardboard challenges, send a note home explaining the critical thinking skills and creativity involved. Explain to parents how their kids will be learning to think like engineers. If you're about to launch into a blogging project, tell the parents that you're going to be doing global collaboration, and they're going to learn how to publish to a real audience, and they're going to be using design thinking, which is something that people actually use in the real world. If parents are excited about what you're doing, then they'll be more understanding when things don't go perfectly. Because the truth is, they won't go perfectly. Innovation can be messy, and you're going to make mistakes. But if parents are on board, these mistakes can be viewed as iterations and learning experiences rather than evidence of some kind of epic failure. But this requires us to tell better stories. I think it's important that you share the great stories of innovation that you're doing in the classroom. You need to be sharing it on social media. We saw this with the Global Day of Design. It was so cool to watch this hashtag trend on Twitter, and it was wedged between two snarky hashtags that were related to political current events, and I just watched instead as kids were posting videos of Rube Goldberg machines and cardboard challenges and all kinds of cool design stuff. It's also important that you have your students publish their work to a real audience. And this allows people to see that kids are doing amazing things. And when they see that kids are doing amazing things, they'll be able to understand that teachers are doing amazing things. It can help to tell better stories by partnering with the community. Finding ways to bring the community into the conversation. But it's also things like this. Go on social media and brag about students. I cringe when I see teachers busting on their class or complaining about how hard teaching is. And yes, I understand it's hard, but brag about them. Tell, people on Facebook, non-teachers on Facebook, how awesome it is to work with the students that you work with. And I'm telling you, that is a powerful way to change the narrative about what's going on in schools. And when people see that, they'll pay attention and they'll recognize that innovative things are happening. I would encourage you to share those stories. If you're a teacher, consider blogging, make a podcast, make a video series. One of the things I've realized is that the media won't invite teachers to the table. You have to choose alternative platforms where you push back against the narrative that our schools are broken and teachers are awful. And so when you do this, when you share those stories, you're actually sharing the stories of innovation. You're sharing the stories of creativity. And you're changing the entire narrative about what's going on in schools. Now, it might feel to you like you're not doing much, that you don't really do things that innovative in the classroom. But I'm telling you, what seems like it's not a big idea, that it's not a huge innovation to you, is a huge innovation to someone. And that's your students. And so share those stories. Share those stories of the tiny innovations that are making a big difference. The bottom line is that we need to celebrate teachers. We need to celebrate innovation in schools. Maybe it's time we invite current classroom teachers to share this vision for the future of education, because honestly, they are the ones who are already making this a reality. Maybe it's time we trust teachers to lead the way in transforming their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder, because again, they're the ones who are actually doing the work. So thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I really do appreciate it. If you enjoy this podcast at all, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? Have a wonderful day and go make something awesome.